Welcome. I'm glad you're here tonight. Weathered the storm to come. Good for you. Good for you. Stand with me as we start singing, Holy is the Lord.
Lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we see. Everyone sings, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
And it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor You in all I do. Amazing love, I know it be that You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor You in all I do.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Love so amazing.
may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly
soul. Oh, don't
don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Sing it one more time. Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's pray before we take our offering. Thank you, Jesus, for this time to worship you. Thank you, Father God, for being in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for filling us. We pray that our offering of worship is pleasing to you, that we have blessed your soul, that we have caused you to smile, because we love you. We ask you to take these offerings and multiply them. Use them for your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I keep telling you, I will continue to tell you, I will continue to remind you, you will continue to remind me because you'll get tired of hearing it. We must be unified as a church under one purpose, and that purpose is to make Jesus Christ known to everyone who will hear. That is our purpose. That's what we must be unified in. And if we gather as a church for any other purpose, then we are not really a church at all. We're just kind of a social gathering. So in Acts chapter 2, we see that the disciples and all the followers of Christ, even though he had ascended, they are still together. Important note. Verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Let's talk about this. Look, sometimes as a preacher, you say, I kind of wish that verse wasn't there because this is a little hard to talk about. But let's address the tongue in the room, okay? This is a hard thing to understand. The way the scripture reads is we assume it's Luke writing this. And I talked about it last week because Luke starts the same way Acts starts, where it says, Dear Theophilus, dear lover of God, Here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what happened. It seems like the way it reads is Luke saw tongues land on people. Physical tongues land on people. Physical tongues that were on fire land on people. That's baffling to me, okay? And I'm not the type of person that reads the scripture and goes, everything needs to make perfect logical sense. Of course that doesn't make sense. Jesus was killed and resurrected. Doesn't make any sense to us. But the way we read this is really important because as you're reading the Bible, and I encourage you to take note of this, as you're reading the Bible, one of the most important things you can do when you're reading your Bible is look at the context. We have to see what's before it, what's around it, what it's all about, before we can just take a verse out of context and say, did you hear about that one time, really early in the life of the church, where where people set tongues on fire and threw them and they landed on people. I mean, it's like little boys throwing spitballs at other people in the church. It's baffling to us, but how can we understand this? Well, as the scripture is written, some things are written to be understood literally, and some things are written to be understood figuratively. What do I mean by this? I mean, we can understand this as Luke saw actual tongues on fire landing on people. I don't necessarily think that's true. Or we can understand it the same way that John recounts the story of Jesus' baptism. Do you remember what happened during the story of Jesus' baptism? The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Should we understand this like there was actually a dove that landed on Jesus? I don't know. Maybe, but that's not how the story reads, right? The story reads that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. Not the Holy Spirit is a dove and landed on Jesus. What we see here is that tongues of like flames, right? This word like, this imagery. That a better way to maybe understand this is Luke saw people talking. Luke saw people talking in a fiery, passionate way. And they weren't just talking in a fiery, passionate way about nonsense, right? And I want to be really clear and careful with how I say this. A lot of times nowadays when we think about people speaking in tongues, I'm not saying this, this is what I hear. We may say, oh, that's a load of mumbo jumbo, or that's shrimp jambalaya, right? That's something one of my friends used to say. Speaking in tongues is not speaking some unknown ancient language. It's actually speaking in the language where people hear you in their own heart language. Let's talk about heart language. If you were to go to another country and just try to speak English to them, it's not going to have the same resonance with them. But if you were to talk to them and speak to them in their native language, let's say French, then some of your expressions, some of your passion, the way you say things, some of your descriptions, they're going to hit home with that person a lot more. They'll hear it in their heart language. The heart language is the language we grew up learning. It's the language that we hear our mom's voice in. You know what I'm saying with that? And what happens in the story in Acts chapter 2 is people start hearing other people from other nations talking in their heart language. Can you believe that those Galileans are speaking Hebrew? Can you believe that those Cretans are speaking Greek? It's baffling. So when we talk about tongues, when we talk about flaming tongues, I don't think we should understand this. I don't think it's a healthy response to understand this as Luke saw some tongues on fire landing on Brother Terry. That's just wild. The way we should understand this, though, is that the Holy Spirit descended on Brother Terry, and Terry started speaking, and even though I speak a totally different language from Terry, I was able to understand it. It was like flames. It was a fiery, passionate moment where the Holy Spirit of God moved. Now, I want to take us back a little bit to the book of Genesis. We're not going to read in it just yet. The book of Genesis, there's something amazing that happens in a story about the Tower of Babel. Basically, the people of the world had started working together. Crazy to believe, I know. They started working together so much so that they started building a way to get to heaven. A way to be with the gods, which isn't abnormal, by the way, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but a lot of different religions tried to make staircases to the gods. And they would either want to go up to the gods themselves or they would beg the gods to come down. It's not abnormal. So the people of the world gather and God sees that they're working in unison, but they're not working in unison for the right purpose. And so he distorts their language. And the reason we call it Babel is because they could no longer understand each other. Their language wasn't the same anymore. It became harder to communicate with people. And then you flip this 180 in Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. Flaming tongues like flames fall on the people, and all of a sudden there's not confusion and scattering anymore. All these people from all these different nations, all people who, by the way, God loved dearly and deeply wanted a relationship with, are all hearing each other in each other's native languages. Here's what we don't want to get mixed up here. It's not like all of them started speaking Hebrew, right? You get what I'm saying? Everyone didn't start speaking the same language. They just heard it in their own language. They're all still speaking their own languages. So this, my friends, is called a miracle of God. It's a miracle. They're all speaking. I'm still speaking English, but you're hearing me in Spanish, and you're hearing me in French, and you're hearing me in Hebrew, and you're hearing me in Greek, and you're hearing me in this and that. My language never changed. Your understanding changed. What's the purpose of God bringing everyone's languages in a unified manner that way? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 4. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were all astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language?" I'm not going to read the names again because I'll say them different and you won't believe I know how to say them. But it's a miracle, okay? The book of Acts starts with this, a miracle, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus ascends to heaven and is exactly where he belongs. Not on a cross, not in the grave, but glorified before all the earth. It's exactly where Jesus belongs. Jesus, and let me clarify this, Jesus didn't belong on the cross. He chose to put himself there on our behalf. We belong on the cross. Jesus took our place. Jesus belongs ascended above all, and he took his rightful place. And then another miracle follows. They're still together. They're still praying together. And now you have people, devout followers of God, devout followers of Christ from all nations. They have gathered together, and the Holy Spirit descends on them like flaming tongues. And they all start speaking their own languages and hear each other in each other's heart language for the purpose of the gospel to go out. This is exactly what's happening here. God is preparing his people to give this message. And he's making sure that there is nothing misunderstood in the process. There's no language barrier there. There's nothing blocking the disciples from teaching the other people. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is who Jesus Christ was. And this is the message we have to share. And if you distort it in any way, it's not the true gospel. There's no language barrier. I want to fast forward. Excuse me. I want to fast forward to verse 12. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." Can I tell you, even the greatest people of God sometimes are blind to the miracles of God. All of us can fall victim to not really seeing God for who he is in a moment, not really understanding all God has done in a moment. All of us can fall victim to this. I find myself doing the very same thing at times. You know, there's something amazing that happened in our country just last month. Happened at Asbury Seminary. You've probably heard about it. If you haven't, here's what essentially happened. There was a worship service, and a preacher told them, essentially, don't waste your life. Worship God today. And they never stopped. They continued to sing. They continued to sing, and they continued to pray, and they continued to have people come preach to them, and they continued to pray, and they continued to sing. And this lasted for weeks. Other people started hearing about this, other college students, and they started having the same thing happen at their universities and their seminaries and their Bible colleges and all of these places. We saw a bunch of young people just wanting to worship the Lord. And I'll tell you where my heart was when I first heard about it. My heart was, oh, you know, I bet the kids who are at Asbury, that's genuine, but everyone else just wants to be part of something big. You know, it's big on social media. Everyone wants to be popular. Everyone wants to be on this so that they can say, oh, yeah, I was a part of this. Can I tell you that sometimes God just speaks to the heart of people and moves in a mighty way, and it's genuine? And I think if we're not careful, we'll forget that. We'll forget that God can move and breathe and his presence be among us. And sometimes we're like the people who sneer and say, well, they're just drunk. Nothing's really happening, right? They're all talking in all their languages. They don't understand each other. They just think they do. Excuse me. And I think one of the things that is so amazing about this opportunity to read about what happens in Acts chapter 2, because something similar is going to happen in Acts chapter 4. Spoiler alert. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are going to walk up to a gate called Beautiful. And they are going to pray, and the Holy Spirit through them is going to heal a crippled man. And people are going to say, that's amazing. Those men are uneducated. Who would have thought those guys could have done something like that? Isn't that just like us? Isn't that just like us to find some reason to discredit people? Hold on. Isn't that just like us to find some way to discredit God? I can't tell you how many times in my life I've said, God, I'm where I'm at because I've earned it. That's just so untrue. You know, God is just present among us. Let's pray real quick. Father, I pray that he is well, that you will fill his lungs with air, even in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so easy for us to be cynical in moments and to say, God, I don't really trust that you can move and breathe among us. But he does, and he can. And he will. And so my perspective on what happened with Asbury, what happened with those college students, and what happens every day among us, it is not just, I'm trying not to be as snarky about it. I'm not trying to be the guy who says they're just drunk on new wine. They're just talking nonsense. It's just a bunch of shrimp jambalaya. They don't know what they're talking about. Instead, God, do I believe that you can move in a mighty way? Yes, I do. God, do you move in a mighty way among your people even today? Yes, you do. God, would you move in a mighty way among us today? This is where our hearts should be at. The book of Acts is amazing because for the very first time, here's kind of what we'll close with this evening. When God wanted to do something amazing through his people, he would give them his Holy Spirit for the purpose of accomplishing a task. Here's an example. You guys know how Samson was super strong? That was the Holy Spirit. God gave Samson the Holy Spirit, gave him incredible physical strength for the purpose of accomplishing the task God had set before him. Today, we aren't given super strength by the Holy Spirit, unfortunately. Instead, we're given the Holy Spirit as a fancy word incoming, paraclete, a helper, someone to come with and give strength to us. Not strength in the sense of you're going to be able to hold two pillars and you're going to kill a bunch of men with a donkey jawbone. But instead, strength to know that wherever you go, God is with you forever and always. There's no greater strength than knowing God is with you. So, as we close this evening, here's what I want to encourage you to be on the lookout for this week. And this is hard. And this is something that you have to really be mindful of. I get really comfortable neglecting the miraculous in my life. I get really comfortable coming up with excuses as to why amazing things happen. I want to share a just real quick testimony with y'all. Earlier this week, Grace and I decided we wanted to go to lunch, and she said, why don't we go to, I won't say the restaurant because I don't want you to think, oh, I wasn't excited about going there, but I just wasn't excited about going there. She says, why don't we go there? And I said, no, I don't really want to. And she said, we haven't tried that yet. It's either that or Subway. And I said, well, I've had Subway all my life. Like, there's nothing special about Subway. We should at least eat something local. And so we go. And we walk in. And as the new pastor, I'll tell you what happens every time I walk into somewhere new. I scan the room and think, do I recognize any of these people? I think we're clear. I said, I don't think I recognize any of these people. And then, of course, we start walking and the table goes, Pastor. It's great. We're chatting with them. Grace is being all smiley, saying hi. And Grace starts asking about pediatricians and gets one of the young ladies' number. And they talk about pediatricians. Well, later that night, Grace's fever just spiked. And I was supposed to leave to go to New Orleans for the weekend. Long story, I was going to leave, but Grace wasn't feeling well. Grayson wasn't feeling well. His temperature was rising. He was screaming in my ear for over half an hour. And he's never done that before. You know, and thank you, God. And, you know, I told Grace, I said, I don't know what to do. I'm panicked. My baby boy's sick, and I'm helpless. And she says, you know who would know something about this? This young lady I met is, what is she again? Yeah, Jessica. She works over at Dr. Thompson's office. Grace goes, I could call her, and she'd probably give us some insight. And so she does, and she helps walk us through that. And us, as first-time parents, we're freaking out. And Grace looks at me, and... Y'all, when I tell you Grace is so good at pointing me toward God in these moments, she says, isn't it just a God thing that we went to that restaurant today? Y'all, I basically said, we're not going to that restaurant, and Grace held her ground. Stubborn as could be. It's moments like that where you just go, God put everyone exactly in the place He needed them to do something miraculous. I want you to be on the lookout for that this week. I don't want you to be the person that says, oh, they're just drunk on new wine. They're just drunk on old wine. They're just drunk. I don't, box wine. I don't care. Y'all are laughing a little too hard at that. I'm just kidding. Be on the lookout for what God's doing in your life and acknowledge Him for it. And when he answers your prayers, thank Him for it. You'll be baffled at how your understanding of God's goodness and faithfulness to you grows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for even answering our prayers about filling our lungs with breath. God, I just, I'm amazed by you, God. I really am. I just thank you so much for this time together. I thank you for the way that you move in our midst, and I just pray that we would be humble and receptive enough to notice and acknowledge those things. God, as we continue to worship you in song, would you be glorified in this? God, if there's anyone here who needs to pray, needs to just hear an encouraging word from you, I pray that you gave it to them. I know you consistently answer my calls. I thank you for that, God. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Stand with us.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Christ the King, come and live.